physical body, intellect, and he himself is conscious entity. So we should dwell all around. You had a good feast today for the body, that's all right. So food is for the body to keep it fit. Heart should be strong so that it may be able to carry you on. Then comes intellect. Intellect is there to just differentiate between right and wrong. What is real and what is unreal. So we should be able to distinguish between real and unreal. Real means what is lasting, unreal means what is temporary. So you have given food to your body, that's good to enable you to ride on, take work from your body. But all the same, this horse cannot last long. So there is something real in you also. Outer things are changing. So this difference between real and unreal can be understood to a certain extent by intellect. So it is a good opportunity here under the canopy of sky, earth below. The real temple of God is this one. You see, earth below and sky overhead. So you have to differentiate what is real, what is lasting, what is not lasting. In the outer things too, and in the man body too. Body is changing. It's made of matter. The world around us is also changing, being made of matter. At the same speed as our body is changing. That we should differentiate by discrimination. If you make the best use of your intellect, then you will be able to discriminate. Intellect is only not meant to enable you to earn your livelihood. It is really meant to understand this mystery of life by discrimination. So in man body, you have got man body. Intellect between stand between the two to differentiate which is real and unreal. You are the real or the body is the real. Body is changing, you know. Every moment of life we have seen such like bodies we have carried on our shoulder to the battlefield. And someday will come, somebody else will take all these bodies to the burial place, our cremation place. So this is not real, it is changing. And fortunately, we are real. God is eternal. Our soul is of the same essence as that of God. Because God is eternal, naturally we are eternal. God is spirit, and man is spirit in man. And spirit in eternal, why should you fear we will die? There is no death. It is only mere change for better. What we have done for that? First of all, you are given to the food, that's all right. First step, of course, if you got no heart to carry on, how will you go? A man was just praying to God, oh God, I am thankful. People gathered together and asked, what for your giving thanks? He said, last night thieves came here, they took away my heart. What is there to thank God? I am thanking God because I was not riding on the horse, otherwise I would have been taken. Don't you think he was wise enough? We let the horse go and we are holding the horse, not on the rider. So we are rider of the man body. It is we who are living the man body. We are watching this man body's several departments working. Do you know it is a regular factory? Have you ever dreamt of that? Outer factories are run by powerhouses in us. There were so many departments of it, and each department is connected with the powerhouse. Whichever department they like to close down, then they take up that connection from that department. If you want to close down the whole factory, take off the main link, then whole factory stands. So your body you are carrying, you see, you are very thankful. You are the director of it, you see, you are the controller of this factory running. You are running this factory. Here also, you see, there are some departments. Have you dreamt of that? These are there, you are using them, but you don't know. You never took, what you say, the help of your intellect to understand that. We could have understood to such an extent. You have got this sight department, eye. And the outer expression of soul is attention. You have got the department of the ear. You have got the department of the taste, tongue. You have got the department of smell, nose. And you have got this department of skin, touch. So these five departments are elevated by us on account of what they are working. If you are not with them, then they don't work. You might have experienced of that in your life. Sometimes you are sitting in very absorbed condition, in some thought. Some man calls you once, twice, thrice, you do not reply. He comes up, "Well, dear friend, I have called you so many times, why don't you reply?" What does he say? "My attention was absorbed somewhere." Yeah. The attention is the outcome of our outer aspect of our soul. Unless the attention is with your ears, don't hear. Are you not running this department here? Common sense I'm putting before you. Sometimes you sit to absorb, your eyes open, some passerby you don't recognize. Newton was sitting by a roadside, solving certain mathematical problems. The man went by, passed by while playing. And some man came later on asking whether the band passed by this way. He said, "I don't know." Is he right? He was involved in solving the mathematical problem with the whole attention. Somebody comes and goes, you don't. So I mean to say the factory of the body is very important. You have been running out of factory, why don't you run your own factory? You are running it, but you don't know how to control it. Isn't it? So masters tell us how to control this man body, factory of the man body. You know what we are? The outer expression of soul is attention. God is all attention. Unless your attention is with this, with the eye department, with the ear department, there's no department, there are departments, isn't it? They don't work. So is it not me that we are living all these departments of the body? I think you must have read scripture, never thought or never taken the best use of your intellect. And submit to your intellect can enable us to understand things to a certain extent. It's a very common sense point of view I'm placing before you. So how you withdraw your attention? Outside, you see you are attracted goes outside. You hear, your attention goes out, right? Dry, kind of thing. So you will find it is we who live in the body, all the departments of the man body, and we are driven like anything. Are we not? The whole thing is topsy-turvy. Heart should be put before the cart, cart is put before the heart. To make the best use of the man body is to know that power which illuminates the whole man, practice of the partners in man body. This is first child was master, advisor. How they do? Our attention is drawn to the outgoing faculties outside, good scenery, good music. So Master tells us there is something within you also, which is the water of life and bread of life. He gives you a demonstration of that. When you get more bliss than outside, then naturally you leave, won't go to outside. Man goes where there is more, comparatively more bliss, more jaya, more satisfaction. Upanishads tell us, what is that by knowing which everything is known? So that is why all masters said, you see, know thyself. You got a good heart to carry. That man's prayers were very significant, you see, pertinent. Not important, pertinent. He saved the writer, let the heart go. And we have let the writer go and keeping the heart and not making the best use of the intellect that God has given you. You know, this all not change, it's changing. Not lost. After all, we are carrying so many men, body on our shoulder to the battleground. Someday will come some carry out, but to, isn't it? So this it will be appreciated with the help of intellect. You know that you are the driver, you are the and living power of the whole department of the bad body. So you are, you know, the top of the ocean of all attention, God. God is all attention. Now our houses are not in order. Our departments are rebellious. The servants working there are not obedient to you. You're dragged like anything. So masters make us first to be the owner of this house. Servants should go by your orders. No, it's already finished. So my point, you see, I am placing before you from a very common sense point of view. We are man bodies. We have got three aspects. We have got physical body, we have got intellect, we have conscious entities. And what is real and what is not real? What is lasting, what is changing? God has given the intellect to differentiate by self-introspection. We are, you see, God has given intellect only for that purpose. If we understand that thing, then when we draw the attention from outside, and there must be something to stand on, you see, there is more attractive, more bliss-giving. So Master come and give you a new birth. To rise above body consciousness. How to withdraw your attention from all outside bring it to retreat from where you control the whole departments of the man body, and that is at the back of the eyes, isn't it? When man dying is up, lies are up front. So this is ABC starts in the spiritual life. And for that purpose God has given you intellect. What Master does, he says, well, man, know thyself, who you are, what you are, your conscious entities, outward expression of which is intellect, attention I mean. Withdraw your attention from all and just sit in the closet of your man body. Christ said so, sit in the closet of your man body. To the seat of the soul which is at the back of the eyes. There you will live in your own body. So for want of practical man, you may say, call him by any name of life, who without at the back of the eyes and control the whole department of the man body, he will tell us how to do it. He will not tell us, but he will give you a demonstration of it. How to withdraw your attention from all. He will give you a little way up. I think this is basic teaching of all. I am telling you the gist of the teaching has given by Masters where ABC starts. Unless you know yourself, you cannot know God. God cannot be known by the outgoing faculties, mind or intellect. Intellect only goes to help you to understand to a certain extent. Is it not helping you know? Is it not more important? So remain wherever you are, you see. We are carrying labels of this. We are man. Analyze man. You are eternal, body is not eternal. Intelligence is to discriminate between the two. Then you use these organ faculties at your beck and call. They won't drag you. No, they drag you like anything, isn't it? So this is what the Master gives. How to withdraw your attention from all outside, bring it to the seat of the soul from where you live in the whole body, control all departments. Are you in a good businessman then? You control all the departments with one word. Now you see, all these are the rebellious. You are not the owner of the house, are you? Any of you? Then you must be able to do whatever you want. Take work from the outgoing faculties, what you want. This is the difference between average man and one on the spiritual way. Is it not? They're quite understandable. So you'll find this man body is a very wonderful house you live in. They've got so many eyes open, nostrils open, mouth open, ears open, we cannot run away out of it. Some power is controlling us. Can you go out of your body? No? Some power is controlling us in the body. That is known only when you withdraw your attention from all outside. Come to the back of the yuksi, some power is controlling you. Very easy way to know God. Is it not simple? Is it not simple? Eh? So very easy, natural way, you see. The Master don't take it to you. I mean, so many yogas and so many involving pranas and body and departments. It's natural. When you see that, then what is that that attracts you within? It gives you some contact to this living water of life. On the bed of life, you take a bed outside. I don't say that it's too tasty as inside. What? Have relic? So this is what it is. And then further ABC starts. When the world philosophy is end, there the religion starts. Where you stand now, tell me. Very open, blunt question. Where you stand, please. Are you the controller of your mind body, these departments? If not, then you must be owner of yours. Then you are the outgoing, the servants of the outgoing faculties will be under your backing call. When all servants are very obedient, then your house is in order. You can do anything. And what it works, you know? Everything goes to its source. You put a cloud of earth, throw into the air. Then it returns to the earth. Why? Its original source is earth below. If you light a candle, the flame goes out, and if you upturn, even then the flame goes out. Because the source, sun is above. Then you have left your old self, you want God, you see. You have natural tendency to go to God. We are bound. Since now there are planes, in the old days, when the planes were not there, there were hydrogen balloons, balloons. Those were tied with the strings to the earth. When they cut off, they flew in the air. It is just like our fate. If we withdraw from outside, naturally we want to. We are real anchoring for God. So anything wants to go down the source. We are all children of God, isn't it? When you play fools outside, leave all that, then naturally you want to go home. Like prodigal sons. Won't you? This in few words, very simple way, what is future? For this purpose you go to a master who gives you control of the mind, gives you something inside. But how to withdraw attention from outside? We cannot, we are given up so much outside, we cannot withdraw. The more we attach to the world, the more we cannot withdraw from outside. I mean, you know, in the rise of a body consciousness, you know, angle of vision will change. All these outer things will have their own value. They lose all, like shadow. They will go. And further ABC starts. Spirituality is only, your spirit, God is spirit, and we are, man is spirited man, is it not? To know spirit is spirituality. You can give a very good demonstration of that. So this in few words, you see, when you know how to withdraw yourself, you want to drag them by these outgoing faculties, you use them as you wish. Now we are very badly helpless, we are driven like anything. When you know yourself, only then you could go ahead. There's many mentioned in the house of our father. You're not we're down from the physical, but how will we go to the other dimension? Doesn't it look very, I mean, pleasant to go up? Or you like to live in the basement of the house? Nobody would like it. So there are books and rivulets and serpents and stones. Isn't it? Make the use of your intellect. We are not using intellect. The work of intellect is to discriminate between right and wrong, between real and unreal, between lasting, eternal and changing. We use it only to heap up money or possession in the world only. So lay by the treasures in heaven for no moth shall eat them. Read your scripture, this is. I'm not telling you anything new. Doesn't that appeal to you all? no inference to be drawn. Hard facts, self-evident truth. I'm not forcing on you these things, is it? That these things not appeal to you? I think so. Then why not follow it? You will go where you are attached. You are attached to God, you see God. God is all beautiful, is it? All glory, all joy, all wisdom. Is eternal. Won't you like to go back to God? Only this department of the man body are controlling you. And it is you who give even these departments of the man body. Isn't that shameful for us? We are the owner and we have become slaves. There are strikes outside in the factory, is it not? They are all the factory, departments of the factory are on strike against you. Well, I told you see, there are books and revelations and some songs, very simple, which are not difficult. It is you who have made it difficult. It is very, most easy for you. The only thing remains how to be dark, your attention from outside. If somebody is there to help you, then even then you do not go on further into the mansions of the Father, then where is your, what you say, your faith. So man body is a golden opportunity we have got, in which we can go to the house of our Father. We are in the basement, you see. I'm living on the 7th floor. Yes. You like to travel there? New York has been 125 stories. So they're mentioned the physical higher mentioned there. I think just take this lesson to be outside, God will help you. That's all I can say.
To follow this ritual or that ritual or this one or that form or this level or that level, they simply give you a lift from the body, raises you above the physical body, opens the inner sight to see the light of God. That is the capital they give you the very first. After all, we have to leave the body. They give you demonstration of how to leave the body. If you work day-to-day regular practice, what you will find? When you time off your leaving body, you are jolly, you go smiling, because you know to leave the body every day. All glory and beauty lies within you. So they don't give you the outer ways of living as rituals, as the customs of the various social parties, because they are not going to form any new religion. They come only to bring you religion of God, religion of love. So, what they say, God resides in you. And Master is one who can give you, without your attention, give you something to start with. Take you out of the delusion of the man body. And you see for yourself. You will have not to wait till end of your life, and he just suggested the word in man is better than two in the bush. This is, you see, there is God. That can be manifested by the word made flesh. Not those who are embodied in the man body and not risen above body consciousness. We are respect for all of them at which we have learned something. But this is what is truly meant by a Master of God, who can give you God as a gift, excuse me, like a fruit given to somebody. So remain where you are, first step you have taken, next step is it has defeated us. Someone who sees and makes you see, and for that, true living is required. They don't want to leave your outward custom, social body, etc.
Good morning, and welcome to the Satsang for Master Kirpal Singh. The talk you just heard was given by Master at the Sandpiper Inn in St. Petersburg, Florida, on December the 3rd, 1972. Our reader this morning is Sheila Gilmore. Go ahead, Sheila.
Hello, everyone. I am reading from The Night is a Jungle. I'm on the 13th talk called Protector and Protection, and I'm resuming where I left off last time on page 318. There are satsangis and near satsangis. By near satsangi, I mean one who has come in closer touch with the guru. This teaching is the same for all children, but those who become receptive come closer to the master. They get a special protection. Though his protection is extended to everyone, all are fed and eat the same bread, yet the child who is more hungry will receive more food. O Lord, we are your ignorant children. The guru teaches us and makes us open up into awareness. Today you may do one thing, tomorrow something else. You are unstable and always wanting new things, from which you go on desiring other new things. The master always gives permission for what you want and remains with you in all you do, but gradually continues turning you toward the truth, that your interest in it becomes more and more powerful. When he has your interest well established, he will make a new life for you and take you into a new world. Now, tell me, is there anyone who would not like to have such a guru? When the world turns its back, the guru is standing beside you. Through desert and forest, over seas and mountains, in this world and the next, he is with you. In the other world, the guru is called Guru Dev, the radiant face of the master, which appears within the light. A man's face cannot appear inside, only the God power. When the Guru Dev comes, the disciple will know that he has become a true disciple. If you would all keep daily diaries and honestly note in them all happenings, you would see what a grand treasure you would accumulate. But we listen to the master's advice and then forget it. We even forget the subject of the satsang after a few minutes. How can we expect success? Christ said, "If ye love me, keep my commandments." Satguru's words are Satguru. The words of the master are the master himself, and those who respect his words will most certainly get salvation. Generally, we respect him only when we see him, and when not in his presence, we do what the mind tells us. But remember, he sees our every action. Our Hazur used to say that when a man comes to the master, he sees him just like a clear glass bottle and knows whether it is pickle or preserve. But no one knows what goes on behind his bland expression. He is completely unfathomable and will not show what he sees in a person, but will try and wash him clean. Some think he knows nothing, but he gives them his protection always. Those children who are in a dangerous condition get extra care, although very often they think they have succeeded in hoodwinking the master. What foolishness this is. Glory, glory to the Guru, Satguru, the teacher, by whose various teachings we gained great wisdom. The Guru awakens us from our unconscious state, gives us physical and intellectual food that we may have good living and right understanding, and protects us in all phases of life. Our Guru is the Blessed One who has bestowed all this wealth upon us. Whoever has such a master is blessed also. I want to emphasize that if after getting this priceless gift, no consideration is given to it, that is the greatest of all misfortunes. There are certain birds which, when migrating, fly many hundreds of miles, but their thoughts are with their children, for they have left their eggs behind. The master might be anywhere, but his thought and protection are constantly with his children, wherever they may be. The Satguru protects the disciple with his life. Breath for breath, he remembers you. Without the master's remembrance, love for him cannot be born in the disciple. He sends out rays of love, and the disciple experiences a strong pull toward his master. This is also a gift. Now the question arises, should one always be near to the Guru physically? To be always close to the physical presence of the master takes extremely good karmic background and only happens with great destiny. Should the followers leave their homes and cast aside their duties? A true guru will never recommend this. Why should he? If he was only on the physical level, then he might advise this. But he tells us that he has another form other than the physical and can travel thousands of miles from where his physical form remains. A true master stresses that it is not necessary to be always close to his physical form. There's no doubt that if one is receptive by being near him, one will be enriched with greater wealth. But it sometimes happens that those near him become critical of outer happenings around him, with the result that they do not gain anything. You can live far or near, but your face should be ever turned toward him. That's the point. Kabir said that even if the seven seas are between the disciple and guru, the disciple's attention should be directed toward his master. The speed of attention is very fast. One can judge from the force of electricity. The pranas, or life current, have faster speed than electric current, and the attention is faster than pranas. With a radio set, one has to just tune it to a certain point, and one can hear the sound immediately. Even if the disciple does not set his attention on the master, the radiation goes on emitting, and the effect of this is the making of him. If he becomes receptive, then the master appears before him. There are disciples in various parts of the world, North America, South America, Africa, England, Germany, France, etc., and who is protecting them? It is not the physical form that travels around, but the higher power, the God power. You can call it the Guru power, and it is also called the Christ power, too. This power is protecting the disciples, many of whom have seen clearly the form of the Master power in their daily lives. The power that works in the human pole is the Guru. And if messages can be transmitted and received through radio, then Why not become a human pole connected to the guru through the guru power? There should be no obstruction in the way, like worldly affairs, children, one's own physical form, or wandering thoughts. Another thing is purity is very necessary in living and in being free from ill or impure thoughts. A radio will not work properly if it is jammed up with dirt and dust. We frequently hear accounts of how the Master has protected his children. At death, he appears before the child, who in full consciousness happily states, "The Master has come." When a child learns to rise above the body consciousness at will, the Master is there to protect and guide him, talks to him, and takes him upward from stage to stage. If Gurudam is looked down upon today, it is purely through incompetency and material motives. They themselves are doomed. But the tragedy is, so are the thousands who follow them. However, there is always hope. And if any have a sincere longing for the truth, God will see that they are in torment to realize him and make it possible for them to meet a true master. How is it possible for the servants to be well fed if the master is starving and naked? If at the time of initiation, the man you are following does not give you anything, it may be little or more, according to one's background, and open your inner eye, then it means that he is not competent. He should give you something, and that is the criterion of a true master. Even if he gives a little at the beginning, then there is hope for much more. And whatever he gives, protect it with your life. After you have got contact with the God into expression power, where will you go from there? To the formless and nameless, the source from where the expression is coming. The word religion is derived from the Latin religio, through re, r-e, and ligare, l-i-g-a-r-e, which mean back and bind. So we have to bind back to the source or God. This is the actual meaning of the word, but we're satisfied with sticking a label on ourselves and performing customary rites and rituals, which are merely the elementary steps to prepare the ground for higher things. No matter what you do, your life will not bear fruit until you meet someone to give you rebirth and connect your soul back to the God power. Only recently, I received the urgent news that a certain disciple was dangerously ill. I wrote and told the people to advise the patient to concentrate within. They wrote back and said that my instructions had been conveyed to the patient by telephone, and within hours, she had started improving and is now on the way to recovery. This was just through a word on the telephone. So you can see that the thousands of miles between cannot stop the protection of the master power. However, that physical form in which the God power has manifested is also pure, though it is not a question of praise for the physical. It is worthy of respect because God is manifested therein. I will tell you of another instance. There was a man in America named Walter Kirill. When I initiated him, he had a very good experience, but after some time he fell ill. When a man is in a helpless condition, he gets restless and worried. He wrote and told me that the doctors were pressing him to eat meat and drink wine. Each time he wrote, I tried to make him understand that the non vegetarian diet would not help him and he should remain on the vegetarian diet. After a few months, he wrote that he could not fight anymore, that he had become helpless and could not breathe, and that the doctors were insisting on a meat diet. I replied, "All right, do whatever you feel like." When I visited America and reached Santa Barbara, the doctors had then given up hope for him and he was at the door of death. Violet Gilbert, one of the hospital nurses, was a satsangi, and she met me and told me about Walter Curell, who was dying in the hospital. He cries a lot and goes on saying that he has disobeyed his guru, who is now in America but will not want to see his face. "Do you think you could visit him, Master?" I said, "Of course I will." When I arrived in his room, Nurse Gilbert told him, "The Master has come." He opened his eyes and saw me, and the tears started flowing down his cheeks. I put my hand on his forehead and said, "Do not worry. Whatever has happened, and it is finished. Do you hear the sound?" He said, "No." "Do you see the light?" Again, he said, "No." I put my hand on his head and told him to close his eyes and forget all outer things. When he did so, not only the light came, but the radiant form of the Master, too. His ears were closed for him, and he heard the sound clearly. I told him, "Now go with rejoicing." His wife was there, and she was a non-initiate. She said, "Master, I know that he has been forgiven and saved, but I wish he would speak to me before he goes." I again put my hand on his head and said, "Your wife wants you to say something to her before you go." He opened his eyes and said, "All right." And turning to his wife, he smiled and said, "I'm going now." This is what is called protection. It is not a story, but a true incident. I feel sorry for those who get this valuable gift and do not live up to it. Nanak says, "He who has met the Satguru, whatever is written in his destiny is finished." It is true that the Master winds up the karmas, but not just like that. He adjusts them to further the man-making of the disciples. He takes the children in his charge, but he will make them into something worthwhile before taking them home. It is his duty to clean them first. Nobody packs dirty clothes away in storage. When people are initiated, they rejoice and say, "We have got a master, we have got salvation." When meeting the Satguru, you will get salvation if you obey his words. Satguru cuts the bonds of the disciple if the disciple withdraws from wrong deeds. Obey the Master. As I have said before, dirty clothes cannot be packed away in storage, and no one wants to wear dirty clothes. The Father wants to embrace you if you have got clean clothes on. But this kind of cleanliness means having no other thought but of him. Clean the core of your heart for he who is coming. Take the thoughts of others away so that he can sit there. This is what is meant by cleanliness. At times, we try to do business with the Master and say, "If our wishes are fulfilled, only then we consider him a guru. Otherwise not." If the Master shows love and affection, then it's all right. But if not, he is no master. This is the sad condition we're in. A guru is a guru and will never leave you, even if you leave him. It is a wonderful protection and a great, great blessing. The volumes of praises for the Guru, which are written in the Veda Shastras, have not been written idly. They also state that the Guru is greater than God. In the Guru, God himself is working, and there is no difference between the two. For example, here is my watch. That which is holding the watch is my hand. And if the watch could see and think, it would consider that it is just a hand. But who is in the hand? I. God is working through the human pole, and the pole says, I am not the doer, but he who is in me. God is working from within the Guru, and they are one and the same. First, the Guru works like a teacher. He shows sympathy and even allows tears to flow from his eyes for you. Sometimes he rebukes, and sometimes he shows love. In fact, he does everything. Then he says, I am not the body, and neither are you. Come, let us go up. He does everything to teach the disciple to break his outer attachments and concentrate within. He has no other motive. He has no desire for people's love. His own love is connected with God and his Guru. There is no place for anyone else. So become receptive to him, and through receptivity become the image of him. A child grows on milk, and to love the Guru and be receptive to him is the food of life to the soul. One master said that though there be 30 or more teeth in the mouth, yet the tongue is not harmed by them. Similarly, the master is protecting the disciple from all the perils of the world around him. When difficult times come, no one helps. Both enemies and friends forsake. All hopes fade away. Life becomes hopeless. But if God is in the heart, the flames of misery will not be felt. When a man gets disheartened and there seems to be no chance of hope from any direction, then the Satguru comes and takes him across all his tribulations. He first waits patiently until we remove all intellect, worries, attachments, and ego from our path. And then, when we have fully reposed ourselves in him, then we come under his complete protection. If the disciple falls, the Guru will lift him up. For in this world, who is free from difficulties? One cannot find even one man without problems in his life. But if a man has a perfect master, he is fearless even when confronted by enemies. Kabir Sahib says, he who lives in constant remembrance of his master and keeps his master's words will be fearless in all three worlds. Why should he be afraid of anything? After all, his master is not merely a man. Understand this also. It often happens that the disciple is due for heavy suffering due to the karmic reactions from the past. But through the Guru's protection, it can be reduced to perhaps a slight prick from a thorn. All the ups and downs of life are like passing phases and should have no pinching effect on the disciple. The worldly life is full of perplexities, and existence here is impossible without them. My master used to say that if one thinks one can remove all the thorns from the worldly life, well, it is an impossibility. However, If one wears strong boots, one will not feel them. To wear strong boots means to live within the protection of the Master's radiation, not physically, but through thought and attention. Be so much in his radiation and never step out of it. Nothing should change this. One can be so much within the Guru's radiation that even the powerful Lord of Death cannot come near. For example, I will tell you of one incident when I was living in Lahore. There was a lady who hailed from my village, but she was not a disciple. She became seriously ill, and her family endured constant sleepless nights in looking after her. I heard that she was sick and went to see her, accompanied by Dalip Singh, who was later the treasurer in Sawan Ashram. I told them, "You have spent so many nights awake and must be tired, so you all sleep tonight, and I will watch beside the bed." Dalip Singh and I sat together for some time. She was not initiated, but that did not matter. And I asked her, "Do you repeat any holy name?" She affirmed that she did. I told Dalip Singh to go and rest and return about 4 a.m., and I continued to sit beside the dying woman. She went on repeating the holy names as I had suggested, but suddenly she said to me, "There is an old man here." I looked up and saw the old man, and he explained to me that she was his granddaughter and that he had come to take her away. But I told him that he could not do so as long as I was sitting there. He tried his best to take the soul out of the body, but did not succeed. So after some moments, he went away. I asked the woman if she had recognized the old man, and she said, "Yes, it was my grandfather. He was a very pious man." After some time, Yama, the angel of death, appeared in the doorway. I looked straight at him, and he ran away. He could not even enter the room. He returned several times, but could not enter. Then Dharamraj, the lord of death himself, appeared, but he also could not come into the room. He said, "This soul belongs to me." I said, "Yes, that is true, for she has not been initiated. And I know also that you cannot come near her because I am sitting here. So you had better go to my guru and ask him what is to be done now. If he gives you permission to take this soul, then I will leave." My friends, just see how great is the Nam. Dharamraj left, and in a matter of moments returned and said, "I have got the permission to take the soul." I said, "All right, take it." He replied, "How can I when you're still sitting there?" Whatever is written regarding the protection power of the Holy Nam is all true, for I am telling you what actually happened. Dharamraj said, "Unless you leave, I cannot take the soul." I asked him, "What benefit will she get from my spending the whole night beside her?" He said, "She will receive the fruit of that before any other rewards or debts are counted." Just then, Dalip Singh entered the room, and I said to him, "Come, brother, let us go away from this room, for while I am here, she cannot die." As we were leaving, I asked her husband to give away in her name some money which was still due from her to some needy people, that her give and take may be squared up, and she may leave the body. Dalip Singh and I stepped out of the room, and in one moment she was gone. Dalip Singh is here. You can ask him about it. If a person who has got the Nam is sitting somewhere, not necessarily the master, but anyone who meditates, then Yama or Dharmaraj cannot come near that place. What do you people imagine the Nam to be? I'm sorry to say that you hold it to be of little value. Whenever masters come, the world speaks ill of them, but God takes care of them. Okay, I think that my time is up. I'll stop there. I was reading from The Night is a Jungle, Protector and Protection, the 13th talk. Thank you, Master, and thank you all for being present to his words.
And thank you, Sheila, for reading for us. There were 83 people at today's satsang. Thank you, everyone, for listening, and thank you, Master, for providing this for us.
So, first principle of devotion and bhakti is what? To know that God is everywhere. We are living in Him, He is in us. If this right understanding comes in, then naturally we'll follow right thoughts. With right thoughts, you will be right speech. And with right speech, you will have right essence.